Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and a little crazy markets, big up Monday, big down Tuesday, holiday Wednesday, and of course, I felt this week would be a great week to do some CE, continuing education. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go and listen to Monday's night's educational class, because again, I believe in financial literacy and teaching. So let's get to Monday night and see what's going on and what I had to say then, and kind of see how it plays out during the week. Here we go.
So let's get right to my bitch, too, because I got a lot of stuff I want to cover tonight. And, you know, there's a lot of talk now about the Fed cred, right? Let me ask anybody out there, does anybody have hold the Fed? Do they have any credibility as far as anybody is concerned out there? I'm just curious what your opinion is. No, I don't. This is Monday. What are you talking about? Are you trying to make me drink again? Okay. I love horse racing too. We owned horses, the Badger and I. One of our best was Silver Pocket. Look, they have no credibility. So why are we trying to make them better than they are? I mean, again, I don't know what anybody else's opinion are, and I don't want to put any words in anybody's mouth. But as far as I'm concerned, the picture said it all, okay, as far as I'm concerned, okay? I mean, I don't think they've done a damn thing for the middle class. And I'll give you some statistics that'll bear that out, okay, when we get there, all right? All of them, they're all crap. They're all dumbasses. Look, at the end of the day, they're not dumb people, but they have no idea how to run an economy or a business, because would we believe that we're actually in business? Does anybody believe that the economy is, that the United States of America is actually a business? I mean, the way they run it, you would never know. I mean, you just keep printing money. You know, your kids keep coming and asking for allowance, and you keep giving out more than you're making. That's a great way to survive. But anyways, last week we looked at a number of things. Actually, I want to show a couple of things. That's why I wanted to get into this right away. So today, the Dow was up 125, and you know, if anybody watches the futures, you're going to say, wait, the futures weren't up that much. Well, again, remember, a lot of the futures rallied back on Friday. Okay. Remember, we only look at the closing prices here. But if you actually look at the futures, okay, they closed higher on Friday. There was a big spike at the end of the day on Friday. Okay. They made this big chart at the bottom. So, again, the futures and the cash will not always measure out on a day-to-day basis, but they will always equate. But so Dow was up for the week, right, since last we met. Basically, today is it. I mean, a little bit more, but we closed last week at 16,370. Today we're at 16,510. 16,6 is still my level. Now, last week I made the call of 16,6 as well. Now, interesting enough, we had the Fed announce that we had the big charge up here, right, and it was crazy. And, of course, it immediately fell down and then really fell down. And the footprints actually held. Now, again, you're looking at a 17,000-point index. So the 17,000-point index goes up 1%, which is about what it did, 1.5%. You know, based on the theory of our stock trade, 3%, you wouldn't have been stopped out. You would have participated. But, again, I get it. People start looking at money versus trading. But, again, the footprint was not bad. Look, I'm not taking credit. I'm not saying you should have made a lot of money. The funny thing is I was actually trying to sell futures when I was getting operated on right here, and I yelled at the doctor because he made me miss a trade because I couldn't. I was holding my phone up and trying to get a trade off, and I got it in, but I got it in, I didn't get in low enough, and I missed it. I couldn't believe I read they might up interest rates next month. Doesn't they're gonna be talking that story? Let them tell that story walking. But again, pretty good hold. Again, look, I'm not taking credit for it, and I don't want anybody to think you should have made a lot of money there, but it certainly, again, you got the spike. Now, if you, let's say you did sell it, okay, and then you get stopped out, well, then you had another opportunity to sell it. Either way, okay, because you have to be willing to follow and look at the footprint. It's very important as to what we do. Okay? The S&P, SPX, Sierra Papa X-ray. Okay, very similar, right? Did the same thing. Now, this was a little more challenging. We were a little bit more aggressive here. Okay, now, again, a little tormenting, but it had no big move. I mean, it was a big move, but it wasn't really. You see, here, one of the problems that we're having today in today's world is that we look too much at the number, like it's up 200. Well, today's up 200 was 20 years ago, it was up 20. Same thing, same number, okay? You know, it's just the size of it, but it doesn't mean, trust me, if traders were making, you know, floor traders were making more today because of these bigger moves, they wouldn't be closing all the floors. They wouldn't have made everything electronic, okay? That's why it's all electronic now, because there's the need is gone, because what the people that do, what they've done is they systematically eliminated market makers. Sell Dow 16.6, yes, please. Because the first step in the death of a trader, you know, and when I talk about trader, I'm not thinking about us traders. I'm talking about when I was a floor trader, and maybe you guys don't know this or not, but we didn't have charts. You know, you weren't trying to calculate out a chart to make a decision. You had literally less than a second to make a market and make a decision. And I mean it that fast, because what happens is a broker comes in and they ask for a market, and you have to make the market and then be willing to live with it. And then whatever you bid or whatever you offered, you had to honor it. Okay. And so we didn't have charts. We were all just trading price. We were trading what they called order flow, paper flow. So when I say that's what I mean when I talk about those types of traders. You know, we're traders, but we're not, you know, day traders is what we were doing, because we were trying to trade for an edge. You hear us often talk about, you know, Goldman Sachs and what guys did, and as business got tighter, they'd start to get sneaky, and instead of bringing a big order in, they'd bring in little orders, or they'd spread them around the pit, and they'd bring in different brokers. So a whole bunch of games go on, but what they did when they went to decimals, that was the first stage in the end of floor trading. Because what they did is they took a market that would normally be a minimum of an eighth wide, which is 12 and a half cents, or a quarter wide, which is obviously 25 cents, and they made it as tight as a penny wide. Well, a market maker can't even make money on a penny wide market. Very challenging. Okay. So the S&P, we said 1980. Okay. I believe we said 1970 to 1980. And, of course, we did. And it blew through. Look, it went to 2020. Now, you know, again, I can't expect you to have sold at 2020. I hope you did, but I can't expect it. But again, I would not have expected you necessarily to have been stopped out either. But if you did, again, you had the same opportunity, right? They charged them up. They looked like they were going to Pluto. And, of course, they didn't fall, and then they cracked them all the way down. So now here we are back at 1980. So I'm going to go with 1980 again. Now, the only
And, you know, these are levels that we love to establish, and we're going to finish more of that. But these are things that are important to you when you're following the footprint. And this is, you know, just another one in the series of calls I do. I do a Sunday night and a Monday night call. And again, I'm obviously always inviting you to join. I think that you'll find that it will be profitable for you and educational, and it'll put you in always the best position to create success for yourselves. And that's why I always tell you to make sure you check it out, and make sure you check out our friends at Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders, and they've got their daily swim lessons. And again, of course, for you guys in Canada, get to me and let me know. I'll get you the best rate you ever had. It'll save you tons of money over the year, but you got to email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, we got education, 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 because learning is the most important part. And I believe that we are, and I am, one of the best teachers out there. So I want to continue to educate you on how to trade better, how to master your portfolio. So let's get back to the Monday night call. Here we go.
Weird thing this week, okay, is you have to be careful tomorrow afternoon and Wednesday. It's Yom Kippur tomorrow. Now, a lot of people will, you know, they'll be out, they'll be gone, you know, because it's, you know, they don't want to be out in the sundown, and some will be traveling a little bit farther to have their, to go to temple and, you know, the whole deal. Okay. So, and Wednesday should be very quiet. Very quiet typically means dull markets, you know, typically they go higher, but, you know, when you know it's thin, they can make larger than usual moves. But I do like 1980, and I can live with 1980, and certainly if we got 2020, I would, again, give it to them with both hands. Okay. Sal Yom Kippur is right. That was the old motto of traders. Buy Rosh Hashanah and sell it at Yom Kippur. True story. All right. So the NASDAQ, they're all like the same, right? They're kind of, you're kind of getting where I'm going here, because I want to share this because, again, you know, we look at them and we're pretty good, right? The call's pretty solid. We're pretty stout here. Now, NASDAQ was not as pure, right? It did not hold. Okay. Now, hopefully, okay, you didn't sell 48.50 the first time. But you could have. Again, I don't ever fault anybody for making a trade. There is no right or wrong trade when you make that, as long as you're making the same trade. Okay? What I don't want to see you do is try to make a decision. Well, this time I'm going to sell it because I have an opinion, but next time I'm not going to make the same trade. All I want out of everybody is consistency. Okay? That's more important than anything, is the consistency to make the same trade all the time. Okay? So if you're going to sell them all the time at resistance and not worry about it, I have no problem with that, okay? But if you're going to try to pick and choose, that I have a problem with. Because, again, I can't pick which one I have an opinion which one might be better, but I really can't pick. I mean, my record is probably not great, okay? My record at reading the footprint is great, but my record at actually saying this one's better than the other, I don't think I have any special shakes there, okay? Because I don't think you can do it. I think it's too hard to really read because you have to see the rest of the reaction to what you know that should happen. So this was not as clear. But again, of course, it did get up almost, you know, into the 5,000 level, which, again, I didn't declare that because we weren't anywhere near that last week. But when you saw that should have been a pretty good indication that was a great sell point. Why? Well, if you turn these charts over, they're like almost a mirror, okay? This is 5,000, if we ever get back there again in recent time, will be resistance. We will be selling there without even thinking about it at 5,000. Okay, but for today, I would be looking at 4,900. Now, how did I come up with 4,900? Well, we broke through. We went almost to 5,000. We came back and we closed below 4,900. We closed at 4,893. To me, that becomes a reasonable resistance level for me to want to go ahead and sell. So I'm a seller at 4,900. And I'm really a seller. I mean, I'm a heavy seller here. Now, I'll be a little bit careful over the next couple of days just because, again, I don't want to get trapped in a thin day and then have to make a decision. And that's where you have to take the decision-making process out, which is what most of the stuff I teach is about, is so you don't have to make a decision. Okay? All right. So the Russell, so the NASDAQ, since last week, all the indexes were up, including the Russell. Okay, now the Russell's marginally down today, which I found was interesting. You know, it's funny, I was doing a whole bunch of this stuff, and I had problems this morning with my Skype, and I do all my interviews for my radio show on Skype, and I had a whole bunch of stuff lined up, you know, because I like to tape some stuff in the head because I'm going to be out of town, I got to have shows done, and my Skype line was down. I couldn't get it up. It was amazing. It was funny because it was working in one of my computers through Outlook, but it wouldn't work where I needed to work. So it was a tough day. And so I was doing a whole bunch of stuff trying to get caught up. And I looked up and I go, I'm looking at, you know, I watch mostly the Dow and the S&P futures. That's just the easy. And then I looked and I go, wait a second, the Russell's down like 80 ticks, which was like $8 at the time. I go, wow, what's going on? And you could see something was weird, quirky happening. But again, so the Russell, we had 1170 again, this kind of broke above the top. You know, if you sold it at 1170, it's a good sale. Okay. And you should have been stopped out. Okay. When it came back down and rallied back into it, you might have wanted to take a look at it again. That's all. Again, that's why I wanted to go through some of this stuff, because I think it's important that you understand, you know, again, you're not going to pinpoint trades. You're not going to pinpoint to the penny. You'll get lucky once in a while, but please don't think that that's going to be a regular occurrence, that you're going to hit the nail on the head. Understand that you're picking an area, and understand that you should be making the same trade all the time, because then you take out the luck event or the picking, you know, trying to outsmart or outthink the market. That's why we don't care what the three letters are here. I just care what this is doing. This is all I care about. Nothing else makes any sense to me whatsoever. I don't really care. I mean, I know what they are just because I know, but I don't believe me. If you ask me one fundamental question about, you know, most stocks, I mean, some of it I know because when I'm bashing something, I have to know, I have to give them a reason why I'm bashing it, okay? But for the most part, I really don't know what these companies are, what their balance sheets look like. I don't really care. Again, when I'm trading, I could care less about anything. It doesn't matter to me. So, again, this would be, you know, 1170, 1180 again. I mean, the levels really didn't change. And that's the story that we should be talking about. Is that even though we might have got stopped out, and again, I don't have a problem with that, okay, we would have had a chance to re-enter. And not that we're going to be such a big winner this time, but again, I'm always willing to re-enter as long as I'm below or in the area of what I think and what I saw. And nothing has come to me that's changed the overall outlook. No chart on the major indexes has given me a reason to believe that something has changed. Crude oil. So we said last week, if you wanted to take a flyer, and I wasn't touting it. I said I want to be careful. But if you want to take a flyer, 44 was a pretty good level to step in and buy crude oil. Well, this was last Tuesday after the call. The low was 43.92. Now, again, I'm not saying you should have got in. I'm just saying, but here it is. We knew, we identified, and we got the move that we figured we'd get. And if you miss it the first time, you had a chance to get it again. Now, again, I'm not telling you should have, but now it looks fairly certain, okay, that probably 47 and change, yeah, I'd say 48 is probably a pretty good spot. And you're getting, you know, a little bit of lower highs here. So, you know, I mean, again, I like crude. I'm a fan. I'm a buyer. I'm an owner. You know, but I'm not, like, enamored like it's going to go to the moon. I mean, I think, you know, I think 48, you know, it'll probably churn here for a while. Excuse me. Then we might pop up to 50. Then we may pop lower as well. But, again, 44 looks to be pretty solid. And I had no problem saying, if you wanted to, take a step at 44.
So, you know, again, you notice how we're just strictly looking at the level. We're not worried about the economic data. We're not worried about Goldman Sachs' $20 call in oil. We're not worried about any of that. None of that becomes important when you're trading, okay? Because if you remember and subscribe to the theory that the market knows all, then you know that the market is well ahead of any fundamental data that you will see. Now, again, this is for your education. This is for me to help you. Now, I do have this call, which is also available by subscription. Okay. But I usually don't do this, but I'm going to make the same deal on this call. Okay. You can try this one for $19.95, and then it would be $99 a month. Okay. So certainly, you know, I'd like to see you get hooked up. Again, it's wonderful education, a lot of follow-up, a lot of information to help you, again, take care of your portfolio. And all you need to do is go to the website and go to shop and or email me and I'll talk to you about it. But again, I want to make sure my goal is to make everybody educated and better. That's the goal of the Badger and myself, is to make you guys understand and be better traders, better investors, so that you have that money at retirement that you're looking for. Also, make sure you check out our friends at Thinkorswim. We do get a great rate. Email me at bub@thebubbashow.org and I'll hook you up. And if you're in Canada, you got to call me today, email me today, because you're getting an unbelievable rate. You're gonna save yourself thousands a year in commission. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back right after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Let me see what spring is like on...
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Hear that whistle, it's 10 o'clock.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and we're listening to Sunday. Today is Thursday, if you're wondering, and we've seen a market that's been in a little whippy. Of course, yesterday was really whippy with the holiday, but again, I'm into this continuing education this week, and I want to make sure we all get it, so let's get back to the Monday night call. Here you go.
So now it's still basically 44 to 48. Now, I'm not a huge fan of selling it right now. Okay, I would be a fan of selling it at 50 for a trade. I'm not a huge fan at 48 because I think it'll go to 50. Okay, Citi and Goldman Sachs, yeah, they're all idiots. They're dumb as look. Let me explain this to everybody. Okay, I know some of you heard this before, but let me just explain it to you. Citibank and Goldman Sachs are legally front-running the markets, okay, always have. They're telling you that they believe oil is going to 20 because they want to buy oil. They are trying to get their customers in so they can buy it in the back door, okay? It's the same when they called for $200 crude. They were trying to get their customers long, or people long, not necessarily their customers. But remember, it always comes down to money. And believe me, if they really felt it was going to 20, they wouldn't be telling anybody. But they're trying to push it down. And this is their second attempt this year to push it down. Okay? You can bet on that. Okay? They manipulate the market to their own desire. Okay? Gold. Golf Charlie. Now, we said, again, as following the footprint, we said you could buy it at about 1,100. Okay? Well, here it is last Tuesday at 1,101. And here it is, and what do we say, 1140, to look at on the upside. Where did it go? Oh, it went to 1140. Now, again, this isn't rocket science. It's just simply following the path being laid out. And look at how fast it went up here. Now, this should send up a message to you. When you see something gyrate this quickly, okay, it should be saying to you, okay, I'm long, I'm happy, but I ought to start, you know, watching for some resistance and start moving my stop up. Because typically you'll see, here's the same pattern. Bing, 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 up, oh, sorry. Okay? So look for it to come down. Now, the key here will be, if it can hold 1120, which I do believe it will, okay? But 1120 is a very tenuous level, but it looks to be a good level. Okay? So I would say 1140 on the sell side, okay? And I would be more comfortable. Now, I like gold longer term, but as a trade, I would have no problem selling it here for a trade. But I think it will continue to rise. I don't think it's going straight up. I never can predict straight up moves. I can only look. Please show chart. I am showing a chart. Are you guys not seeing a chart? I'm showing a chart. So, again, that is the footprint that we followed. So we got levels. We can see them. They should be fairly clear. You know, you've been with me long enough. Everything should be, you know, fairly clear here as to what we're looking for. Now, bonds, Zulu, Bravo, they get hammered today, man. Whew. You know what's weird, okay, and what's strange is the bonds got hammered. This is what doesn't make sense. They really got hammered, but we were buyers, right? We had our gamble trade on, which has worked out spectacularly. 2 out of 3, ain't bad. Okay. But what's really strange, okay, from a fundamental standpoint, okay, and I'm not a fundamental guy, but from a fundamental standpoint, what's really strange today, the bonds got drilled, okay? They were down over 2 full points at last I looked, okay, which is $2,000 a contract. But not that the bonds went down, but that the market performed as well as it did, and yet the dollar was extremely strong and commodities were extremely strong. See, something, there's a meld there that doesn't fit. Again, this would be a puzzle. What doesn't belong? Okay. Well, if commodities are strong, the dollar should be weaker. Well, the dollar is unbelievably strong, but let's do the bonds first. But that's so here we went right up to, what did we say? We said, look at, you know, 156, 156 and change. Okay, where do we go? We went right to 156. Okay. And we said it was a little narrow range and we weren't going to make a trade in it, but we were going to be willing to go after it. Okay, on the gamble trade, which we did. So now, you know, 155, you know, 155 and a half, that's 155.16. I take a stab at them, and we'll look at a legitimate trade in TLT. Okay, but again, and support 152. Okay, I think those are good levels. I mean, I'd have no problem trading them at either one of those levels. Okay. The dollar, as I said. The dollar was up over a buck today, and where we're going, look what happened. Oh, gee, what a shock. Came down to support, right? This is not a new line I'm doing. This is here. And now where we're going. Now, again, at the rate which we're changing, remember, I always warn you in certain products that these types of moves are expected. But when you get them, when you get to that resistance level, if you're not logged in, okay, I'm reading something. If you're not, you know, ready, okay, or if you're not long here, then you want to look for an opportunity when it does finally stop to sell at resistance. Now, 96 is pretty clear, okay? That would make sense to me. And, again, I don't know that we're going to, you know, the dollar's going to all of a sudden become strong. Okay, that was one of the reasons that they didn't raise rates is they didn't want the dollar to become too strong. Because, again, we're already the highest rate in the world. Of major countries, of course. All right. 94 to 96, chops. All right. So, the euro currency, and this is what I want you to notice. This is important. Remember, I always say to you, these moves come all the time, right? So, when I tell you that, you know, again, we were looking to sell, and we had an opportunity to get in here and sell, okay? I said I didn't really want you to trade it last week because, again, I didn't want anybody to get trapped. I knew a move. Now, it could have gone up, too, right? It didn't have to come down. But here, see, this is what I worry about. When you get the commodity space, again, one of the differences between stocks and commodities are around forever, okay? And they have no basic underlying, okay? There's nothing, there's no company to report to. I mean, there's the countries. But, you know, so you get these kind of moves that can be artificially huge, okay? Because what happens, the market will get thin or everybody get in on one side. But we were pretty much on top of the range. Now, again, I would still be a seller here at 113 to 114, okay? I'm not really a buyer, but you'd have to consider buying at 111 and then 110. But they kind of signaled this a little bit on Friday. I don't know if anybody caught the trade on Friday, but it reversed action, and it was more prevalent, obviously, in the FXE. And the reason I paid attention to it is because I had a position on in FXE. And of course, now they finally got them. Where were they Friday when I needed them? But again, I'd say 111, 110 on a buy side. I am not a buyer though, or 113 on the sell side.
You know, again, you're noticing now how we're really just talking about the market footprint. I'm not telling you that the euro currency is going to zero, which I believe it is. I mean, I think it's going back to what we call par. I'm not telling you that it's going to happen today. I'm trying to show you that the market itself will dictate time and opportunity when it's ready. And that you, as an individual investor or a trader, should not be trying to time out the market and when it's going to happen. But you, as the trader or investor, should be putting yourself in the best position when it happens. Okay? And that really becomes more of the story, is when you're ready. Because again, when they say the story, you know, success meets opportunity, whatever the saying is, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to put you in the best possible position. And it's important because, again, in markets that we have now we've had a crush in volatility, which we'll talk more about when we come back from the break. But when you're looking for action, you want to make sure that the trade you're going to put on give you the best opportunity to get those trades on. And that really is where we come from as a group, okay? And as a trader, is to say, oh, okay, this is the best spot for me. And that's what I find to be the most important to all of you. And that's why, you know, again, I'm a big educator, and I believe that we have the best deal in town for our subscription model. I mean, we're not gouging, we're not preaching fear, we're not giving you all the nonsense, we're really just teaching. And we want you just to learn. And again, if you go to thebubbashow.org, you can look it up and you can get hooked up. If you have any questions, you can always email me, I'll be happy to answer them. But I'm doing this, A, because I like it. I'm doing it because I love to educate people. I'm doing it because there's no more floor for me to trade on, so I've got time. And so for all of those reasons, you got a deal. No, but anyways, so, you know, check it out. But also check out our friends at Thinkorswim. Honestly, the best platform. And now I do have the ability to offer Thinkorswim through TD Waterhouse in Canada. And your trades will be $1.50 per contract in options with no ticket charge. Your stock trades will be about $7, but you've got to email me to get the details to get that done, and that's Bubba at thebubbashow.org. And when you're checking out thebubbashow.org, make sure you realize how far ahead of the curve we are with the information that we provide, because we've written about things 4 to 6 months in advance of when they actually hit the news. So I think you'll find that to be extremely interesting as well. And also catch the show at libertytalk.fm on demand. We'll be back after the break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back.
Song was written by Fred.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you today, and we're having a good time. We always have a good time. But again, we're really just into this education and really teaching you how to better trade for yourselves. So I'm here to help you. I'm here to make it work. And let's get back to Monday night, because there's some pretty good stuff coming up here. So let's get back to Monday night.
Again, this is what I kept saying. This is what bothers me. If we don't hold here, I guess we're just going back into another bull market, right? I guess we're just going higher. Now, I don't really believe we're going to go higher. I really do honestly believe the top is in. I don't have that big of a position where I'm, you know, look, I'm not happy losing money. But I'm not like giant short. I feel like I should be giant short. But again, I don't want to deal with it. But again, what have we seen? VIX had the big pop, tried to hold, and look, the put sellers are back. Okay. You know, I don't trade the yen, but I'll be happy looking for you later, Jack. I have no problem. I don't really follow it that much. You know, I had to pick a number of products, and, you know, I pick what I pick, but, you know, the yen's okay. I mean, I used to trade the yen years ago. But, again, this is concerning. I mean, you know, this collapse in volatility is not good. I mean, when you look at it, forget about from the spike high, but even in the last week, we're down almost 35% in volatility. That's crushing, okay? Now, it's not crushing if you're short premium, but at the end of the day, right, we need volatility because we can see how much better the trade is when you're getting volatility. All right. So the gamble trades, were very good, very happy with those. I thought they worked out well. I thought we were positioned well. As I said, there would be no rate increase. I will go on record again of saying there will not be one this year. Okay, and that jackass from the San Francisco Fed yesterday, who was on Maria Bartiromo's Sunday show, who said, well, maybe in October. Really? I mean, again, they must think we are the dumbest people ever. If they believe that we're going to keep believing that they actually, A, have a clue, and are actually even thinking about raising rates. Okay? I just don't get it, okay, that these people actually believe that we're that ignorant. Because, you know, it's sad when you have that. And speaking of that, so that was the Fed announcement. Now, it should not have been a shock that they did not raise rates, because we knew they weren't going to raise rates, okay? And the two moves in the market, right? So we look at the market, right? Let's look at the futures, because that's the best way to get the feel for what was going on. So the S&P, because they were pretty strong. So we got to go on a 10-minute chart. I'm going to go intraday, 3 days, that gets enough, right? 10 minutes, 3 days. Okay, so here's Thursday, right? So here's the announcement. Right here. Okay. So we had the announcement came out right here at 1300 on mine, because I'm in Central Time. So we got a big gyration. Then we get this big spike up. Okay. So we had the up and down. Then we tried to go up, and then we come down. And I said, the third time, they're going to pick the direction. And this particular time, they picked a direction to be lower. Okay. But look at all that action in a short period of time. Obviously, look at the volume to support it. Okay. So, again, you know, it shouldn't have been a surprise, and, you know, they caught people. And what I said last week, and I said on air, I said to you guys as well, I said, okay, great, but how many bullets do the bulls have left? Because they had rallied the market big going into the announcement, okay? So what did they have left? And, of course, they didn't have much, because once they pushed them up, and, again, that's what you want to remember. Once they pushed them up, there was nobody left to buy. So there's nobody left to buy. What are they going to do? They're either going to consolidate, because somebody will kind of carry them like a fighter, or they're going to fall back down. And that's kind of what we saw. Okay? So the aftermath, though, I believe now we go into that bad news is actually going to be bad news now. I don't believe that we're going to still – I think the lesson we learned from here is that the street is kind of unhappy now with the Fed, because I think the street really wants rates to be raised as well. And I think that the free money jamboree that they've been putting on, everybody's ready for it to be over, because everybody's finally realizing that the unintended consequences of what's happening here puts us in a very dangerous and precarious position. Because, as you know, and again, this is not because I'm bearish the market today, but we know that this market's going to collapse at some point. Again, that's not because I'm bearish. It's got nothing to do with anything. It's just got to do with history. Markets always collapse at some point, and there will be an impetus. There will be a reason why. Okay? But now I would look for bad news to actually be bad news. Now, forever, it was the Bernanke or the Yellen put that kept the markets up. But I think now when you do get bad news, you will see a market fall apart. And again, I don't think it'll be in one day, so you never have to worry. In fact, let me just explain that we don't have to worry about a 1987. Okay? There's too many things in this market that won't allow that to happen. The differences are, in 1987, you didn't have 24-hour trading. You didn't have circuit breakers. Okay? So at the end, you know, yeah, we could have a big down day. But in 07, 08, 09, you had plenty of time to get out. People were just stubborn, and they finally just puked. They couldn't take it anymore. Okay? All right. And then, of course, we had Bullard and Jim Cramer. You know, I call them the cheerleader and the manipulator. I mean, Cramer, I personally don't like him, just personally. I just think he's a pompous, you know, what else. But, again, he's very smart. I mean, you know, I can't take away from, you know, his overall intelligence, unless he's built a nice career for himself in the TV industry, but I personally don't care for him. I don't care for his antics, and I just think that he's, you know, full of hot air. And, of course, Bullard, I don't care for him either, because he keeps changing his mind, okay? raise, let's not raise. No, maybe, should I? I don't know. And to me, it's ridiculous. Okay, so what are they going to do? They're not going to do anything. Nobody's doing it. Look, the last legitimate shot would be October. They're not raising in October because the data does not support it. The Fed is telling you that the data does not support it. If they go by the benchmark that they set years ago with 6.5% unemployment, we're now going to probably go under 5%. And they still can't do it. Why? Because it's all a mirage. It's all artificial. There's nobody making any more money. Okay? Look what's going on now. Okay? Are any of you guys out there in real estate? I mean, I know a few of you are, but look what's going on in the real estate market. We're not selling houses. We're renting properties. The rental market is booming. Rents are out in the sky everywhere, not just in New York, but rents are in the sky everywhere. Why? Because nobody can buy anymore. They make up the excuse, well, the millennials don't want to buy, or the baby, whatever they call them. They don't want to buy. Bull BS. They want to buy. They can't because the banks won't loan them money, so they're forced to rent. The guys who own the rental property know that, so they keep jacking up the rents. They're no different than the gas station guys who stick the price up, you know what, when they're doing their thing. Okay? So at the end of the day, okay, it's a rent bubble. Okay? It's got nothing to do with anything except that you can't borrow money from the bank because they won't loan it to you. So we have a rent bubble right now. Okay? And why is that? Well, because we got no jobs. Okay? The jobs is horrible. You really believe that we have a 5% unemployment? Okay. Now, what's the problem with that? Okay. Well, we have making less.
Well, you'll have to come back tomorrow to find out what the problem with that is. But, you know, there's a lot of things. We covered a lot of ground today, as we do every Monday. And certainly, I want to make that available to you. You know, because again, I'm a big believer in the education, the financial literacy that most of us lack because we didn't have me around to make sure that everybody got it. Okay, we had too many brokers who didn't have literacy, who couldn't pass on the knowledge to help the individual. Well, that's all changed, and we want to help you, the individual. So remember, this is for you. I'm doing it for you because I believe in it. I have done this and made many, many successful traders and investors over the years, and I want you to be one of them. Go check out thebubbashow.org. Get yourself hooked up. If you have any questions, email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. And that'll do it for today. This has been The Bubba Show. Great show, great education. I'm glad you were here to check it out. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.